Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Ryan Johansson, Predators forward. Looking forward to that conversation coming up. Big plays by Johansson last night, both offensively, adding another assist to the total last night, but probably the play of the game last night for the Predators defensively. Timo Meier cuts the lead back to one goal for the Predators. It's 2-1 in the third period, and the Preds have a wide-open net. The puck's going in the net, and Johansson gets his body in front of it, makes the play, makes the save on that sequence there for the Predators. They hold on for the 3-1 win. So now two wins in a row for the Predators. And sitting here, as you look ahead to Saturday with an old friend coming into town, Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders. So a big one last night for the Predators. We'll catch up with Ryan Johansson about that here in just a few minutes. You know, this power play continues to score, Joe Rexroad. More action last night on the power play for the Predators. Roman Josi playing at a really high level right now, 9 points in 7 games. You know, we typically, at this point in the season, the last couple of years, are looking around and asking, huh, what's wrong with that power play? Why haven't they been able to score yet? That's not been the case so far for this Predators team. And even in the early part of the season, when offensively 5-on-5, pucks weren't going in the back of the net, power play has looked pretty good all season long to this point.
Yeah, Matt Duchene with a big one for the first goal last night, and get the lead, keep the lead. Like I said, Johansson with a clutch play late. But just overall, all of a sudden, with 3 straight games here after the first 4 at home, the offense overall, like you're seeing some good signs. I mean, Johansson's got some production. Obviously, Roman Josi is just coming out on fire. Now you get Forsberg going. He's got 3 goals. Duchene, I mean, all of them, their production is at a rate right now that if you could somehow take that to an 82-game season, you'd have very good seasons for them. And I think you would have, with what you have defensively and with UC Saros, you'd have a winning team. You'd have a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. Can you sustain it, though? I mean, just before they go to Winnipeg, it's like, my goodness, where and how are they finding offense? Which is probably some of the early season overreaction that you tend to have, but it's also kind of, I still think, a reality of this team is that they're going to have to scratch out their fair share of 2-1, 3-2 wins.
They are. And, you know, the defensive pairings, especially in the top four, that they've gone with as of late, I've liked for the most part. Now, the Winnipeg game, I didn't think they played very well defensively. They responded nicely on Sunday against Minnesota. And then once again last night, I mean, I think they've played pretty well defensively for the most part. You've got Josi playing with Fabro. You've got Carrier playing with Ekholm. I mean, I think you brought it up earlier in the show, but Fabro playing with Josi, I think, has been pretty good so far, and that's looked like a nice combination. Now, I think the easy response to that out there is, well, yeah, he's playing with Roman Josi. Anybody can do that, and anybody's a stretch. That's not necessarily the case. I think it certainly helps playing with a guy like Roman Josi, but Fabro, individually, when you just look at the individual parts of his game, I think he's looked pretty good so far.
Well, I think he's earned the right to play with him too, right? It's not like he started out the season playing with him. I mean, his play has elevated him in the lineup, and I like that combo right now. I like how he looks. I mean, I think there's so many individual storylines for this team. That's one that, so far, is definitely playing out the way the Preds hoped. You know? Elli Tolvanen, you know, you're still good, certainly, that he was healthy. You want to try to get him going now. I mean, I think you get him going and get, like, 2 lines going so, like, an opposing checking line doesn't have an obvious target, you know, then you make yourself more dangerous.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators forward Ryan Johansson, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local, support social. Ryan? What's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, fellas. Good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, did you practice a little goalie yesterday? Save of the game yesterday for Mr. Johansson in that game last night.
Yeah, a little bit. I had I mean, nothing crazy. He was just kind of in the right spot there to save the play, I guess. And, you know, I'm glad I got a stick on it.
Ryan, as you look at the power play, obviously it's been productive for you guys so far this season, and you've gotten contributions from everyone, a couple of goals from you the other night, and just the man advantage seems to be clicking right now. What do you think's working so well for you guys on the man advantage?
Yeah, I just think we're doing a really good job of being on the same page and executing what we want to go out there and do. And like you said, everyone's kind of stepping up and making plays happen, and that's what you need. You're gonna go through periods of the season where you have some tough games or the power play isn't clicking, but as of right now, everyone's doing their job and everyone's, you know, finding ways to make plays and execute, and it's helping our team win, especially these last couple games.
Yeah, so Ryan, you guys 8 goals first 4 games, and I'm trying to, boy, math on the fly here. I think 12 in the last 3. Other than the power play, anything that you guys found, like in Winnipeg, or you know, just overall, that's getting better for you in terms of 5-on-5 offense?
I think we're doing, you know, within our structure, our game plan, we've been executing a little bit better and kind of have taken another step in the early start of the season, but you know, it's tough to, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just early on in the season and just getting things going. I feel like we deserve some more goals earlier in the first few games of the year, but, you know, we got to give credit to the goaltenders too. I thought they played some great games against us, but, you know, feel like our offense is coming more, and it's good to get rewarded these last couple of games.
Predators forward Ryan Johansson on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, you had maybe the most outstanding Post Malone Halloween costume that I've ever seen in my life a few years ago. Is there anything special planned for Halloween this year from you?
I mean, I'm doing my best again. I'm going to try my best.
Okay.
But I can't give it away, though. You know that.
Okay.
All right. So you actually have a plan, or you can't give it away because you're still trying to figure it out?
No, I got it. It's here.
I didn't see that. Was that like the eye tattoo and stuff? The whole deal?
I mean, yeah. Showed up to practice the next day. So there, it was awesome.
Man. I'm sure this is on the internet somewhere.
it was really good stuff. So, Ryan, as you look at obviously some of the younger guys coming up from Tomasino to obviously Tolvanen being there, as you know, Yakov Trinan, what's kind of impressed you about the approach that the young guys have brought to the table, and specifically with a guy like Tomasino, who, as you know, has all the skill, all the ability in the world to try to transition to playing at this speed in the NHL? What's that been like from your vantage point to watch, and what kind of conversations have you had with him so far throughout his young career?
Yeah, I think all our boys, our younger boys, have been doing a great job. And like you said, I've been really impressed with Palmer. You know, as older guys on the team and looking back and being in the, when we were young guys and coming into the league, and how you kind of, you know, what was the advice you wanted to hear? What were things you wanted to hear? And, you know, I kind of looked at it and our other older guys talking with him. It's like, go out there and just attack the game. Like, go make an impact. Like, try and get out there and just make plays. Don't worry about making a mistake. Go out there and just work your butt off, but try and make impacts. And go out there and, you know, kind of play fearless and make plays and, you know, like I said. And I think that's basically bang on how Tomer's been playing. He's just going out there, playing fearless. He's making plays, he's doing everything he can to make impacts in games. And I think you can see that within every shift he takes, he's out there. And obviously, it doesn't happen every shift, but his intentions are to make impacts in these games every time he's got the puck on his stick And he's been very impressive. And I'm proud of the kid and proud of the way he's playing and the way he's working right now.
Well, another young guy, Ryan, who, you know, last year came in super early, super young, was able to help you guys out, you know, in that series against Dallas, but, you know, right out of college, basically, and has had ups and downs, growing pains in front of everyone since then. But it really seems like Dante Fabbroe kind of took to heart, you know, being more physical and stronger and all that stuff in the offseason. And it seems to have translated to the ice. What have you seen from him both coming into the year and then so far this season?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Fabs because he was absolutely phenomenal last night. And I went up to him last night, and I'm like, Fabs, you played great, man. Like, that was a heck of a game by you. Like, great job. He said, well, I didn't think I played that good. And I'm like, you know what? You were in positions to do all the hard things and all the ugly things within a hockey game, and you like looked phenomenal doing it all. He just had, throughout the whole game, he had all these tough hockey plays and all these ugly plays where it's just, and he was coming out of them and executing things just like it was nothing, and it was so impressive. And he's doing so many little things, and you don't get credit for those kind of things, and you don't get on the score sheet with points, but as teammates, we notice that big time, and he's definitely shown a lot these last few games, and in the preparation he's taken and through the off season and whatnot to be ready for this season, and really proud of him right now and how he's stepping up.
Ryan, last thing for you here. Obviously, you take a look at your own personal game, and you're getting rewarded right now for your play with the points. But even beyond the points, what have you made so far of your game and the way that you've approached kind of your job on a night-in, night-out basis for this group so far?
Yeah, it's nice to get on the board and get rewarded a little bit, and just going out there and doing what I do and trying to find success and get points on the board to help the team win. And last couple games have been nice, and it's just good getting some results in the win column and have an opportunity to get back to .500 on Saturday.
Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck as you go throughout the week here and with the game coming up on Saturday, and stay vibing, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Stay vibing. I like that.
That's right.
All right, boys. Thank you, guys.
Sounds good. Man. Ryan Johansson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local, support social. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Ryan Johansson had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series is coming to town, and the Nashville Predators will host the Tampa Bay Lightning outdoors at Nissan Stadium on February the 26th, and you could be a part of the action. 70,000 rocking fans at Nissan Stadium. Smashville is excited to welcome the entire hockey community for a unique spectacle that celebrates the spirit of Nashville. It's going to be a really fun time coming up at an outdoor hockey game. If you've never been to an outdoor hockey game, I can promise you don't want to miss it. It is an experience that you will truly never forget. And you can get your tickets now at NHL.com/stadium series tickets. Once again, that's NHL.com/stadium series tickets. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features myself this weekend, Robbie Stanley, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub downtown, 151 Fifth Avenue North, prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and a little Daughtry coming back in. We've got a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November the 3rd. Be caller number three at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, November the 3rd. So go ahead and dial in right now. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Ryan Johansson for joining us in the last segment. Joe, I said it on Twitter last night after the game. An observation that I have through seven games so far for this Predators team, and there's a lot to kind of sift through there. Ryan Johansson's been pretty good so far. And Johansson, I think both offensively, he looks engaged, especially on the power play. He's been effective so far. But really, in his all-around game, I've liked for the most part through seven games this year. Made the play of the game yesterday with the save of the game and the wide-open net that we talked about in the last segment. But overall, I think Ryan Johansson, if you're a Predators fan, you've got to be pretty encouraged by what you've seen so far through the first seven games.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good start, and then it's a question of maintaining it. I mean, obviously there's a lot on him. There's a lot on Matt Duchene. We know this. I mean, you know, if you're a Predators fan who is more, you know, I guess focused on the youth and the future, that's fine. But this team is going to achieve anything because both of those guys have pretty good years, or it won't. And I would say more so with Duchene, but I think with both, at least you're seeing some positive things for sure. And, you know, again, the production right now is at the rate you want it. Can you maintain it?
Can you maintain it? And, you know, is there going to be more opportunities as they move forward? I read off the time on ice a little bit earlier. You know, Yakov Trenin, Colton Sissons, still getting a little bit more ice time than Ryan Johansson did last night. I'd like to see that kind of change around. Look, Yakov Trenin, Colton Sissons, Tanner Janot, they've all been very good. I don't want to take anything away from those guys. And especially in the case of Trenin and Janot, I think there's still growth that's there to be had in their games. Like, I think at this point, Colton Sissons is what he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Colton Sissons, I think, is a very valuable player for this team. But I still think that Janot and Trenin have room to grow in their game. I still don't – I mean, neither one of those guys are going to be Ryan Johansson. And I think Ryan Johansson, if he's playing the way that he is right now, I think they need to have him out there and use him a lot. And I would like to see them use him more than they have so far this season as they move forward.
Hey, man. You got a chance to bash some heads out there. John Hines gonna take that opportunity. But no, I mean, that's true. I agree. I mean, hey, those guys are very important to the team, without question. But yeah, I agree. I mean, look, Johansson is he's playing the entire ice, and he's playing a strong game, and I think that'll probably balance out a little more in some games, or he'll be on the ice a little bit more in some games if he keeps playing like this.
I would think so.
Will, do you think that this line concoction is here to stay?
No. I mean, I think you'll see some moving around. It's going to be interesting because David Poile was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday just talking about, you know, the opportunities for a Janot or for a Trenin. Could they move up? I mean, you have, I think, different looks you're going to see from those guys this year. So I don't think this is, like, something that's just going to be permanent. Like, I'm also interested, like, at some point, can Eli Tolvanen get it figured out to the point where you put him with a Ryan Johansson and see if you can open him up offensively that way? Like, I wonder what happens on that front on a consistent basis. Like, could that be something that John Hines takes a look at? I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to be pretty encouraged by the way Tomasino's played so far. I mean, he had another breakaway opportunity last night late in the game, wasn't able to convert on that play, but all in all, like, I really like for the most part what Tomasino has brought to the table. So, you know, with some of your younger guys, I think you're encouraged. Like, even, you know, Novak, who we didn't even talk about in training camp, he's come in and has looked pretty good for the most part. So, you know, David Poile had some interesting comments on that yesterday too. Like, they felt out of camp that Novak was probably further along than Cody Glass was, and you know, that's part of why the hook was pretty quick on Cody Glass, sending him back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's when it happened. We didn't think of it in terms of a one-for-one
right
kind of thing, but that's what it was.
Yeah, that's apparently what it was. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to feel good about with some of these young guys. The problem that you have with young guys is they can look good for stretches, and then they can disappear for stretches too. And that's what you got to navigate through when it's your first time playing through an 82-game NHL season. That's a really tough thing to navigate through.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs. But I would say overall, I think you can see in Tomasino all the things people have talked about.
Yep.
You see the upside. And I think he mixes it up. I mean, I like how he goes about his business. You know, there's going to be empty stretches and things like that and moving around, and it's not going to be perfect. But overall, I don't know that you could realistically ask for a ton more than you've gotten from him through seven games. And not that he's played all seven games either, by the way.
Exactly. No, I think he's looked pretty good on that front for the most part. Saros, with a nice response last night as well. Didn't go well for him on Saturday night against Winnipeg. You know, he didn't get tested a ton last night, but came up with some big saves and key moments. Defensively, I like where they're at for the most part. Really, the Winnipeg game is the one exception where I think they played pretty well defensively for the most part. So, you know, you look at their record right now, and they're 3-4, and you're like, okay, well, that's about where you thought they'd be to start the season. I do think there are parts of their game that are very encouraging. Like, I love the power play. For the most part, I like the way they played defensively. UC Saros has looked very good so far. You know, Connor Ingram in the one game we saw him looked pretty good. So I think there's a lot to like. It's just offensively, I think we know this team is going to be limited in what they can do. Is the formula that they're going to have to play to win games on a consistent basis, is that sustainable? Like, can they play that way? That's going to be interesting to see.
Well, I think they can if the power play operates well,
yeah,
as it is right now. And again, if, you know, those Duchesne, Johansson, and those guys are good enough to score, those guys are good enough to give you 50, 60 points. You know,
it also helps that your best defenseman is on pace for like 95 points right now.
There's that too. There is that, yeah.
If you can keep that up, they'll probably be in good shape.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
A couple more plays last night that you're just like, yep. How many guys do that?
Well, somebody pointed this out on Twitter last night. There are three guys that have won the Norris Trophy on the ice last night. One of them looked a whole lot better than the other two. I'll put it that way. Between Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, and Roman Josi. You know, we talked early last season. Josi struggled by his standards to begin last season. And I felt at the time, and I feel even stronger about it now, and you might be able to toss like Kevin Byard into this same category. Maybe an instance of trying to do a little bit too much. Like, I think Josi, especially last year, was trying to do too much to maybe compensate for what's going on out there. And he came back in after his injury and looked like Roman Josi at the end of last year. So far, I mean, he looks really good out there. And he knew that's a given coming in. And, you know, I tweeted about Johansson last night looking really good, and somebody was like, well, what about Josi? And I was like, well, I mean, I think we've grown to expect that
at
this point.
You have to also mention him every time. Yeah. Make sure you mention Roman.
Yes. I think we've come to expect that at this point. But he has been pretty phenomenal so far this year. And that is with, you know, a defense partner that I think sometimes we overlook this. He's played with Ryan Ellis for like the last 5 years on and off. And now he's got a brand new one and looks pretty good still. Doesn't matter who's playing with him. So, been pretty awesome to watch Roman Josi so far. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they look ahead to the Islanders coming up on Saturday. We will do that next. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Manchester Orchestra at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November 17th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Manchester Orchestra live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. Once again, that's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. Our winner will be chosen on Monday, November the 1st. We'll be right back with Adam Vingan here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Big play last night for the Predators. They went 3-1 against the San Jose Sharks. and now won two games in a row as they look ahead to hosting Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders coming up on Saturday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. And as we do every Wednesday at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vengen from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We are wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Adam, the Predators have a top 10 power play. Your response, and are you going to retire the Simpsons gif? What's going to happen in this area of the world that we've all become so very concerned with on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've come up with an equitable solution that will please everybody.
Okay.
As long as the Predators have a top 10 power play, I will refrain from using the gif. And at any point it dips below 10, I am allowed to use it.
So 11, he's coming out firing again.
Oh, you're going to go GIF crazy when they go to 11. I feel like this is going to make you root for their power play to fail. Is my concern well-founded?
I don't think so. Why would I root for anybody to fail?
Because you love that Simpsons GIF.
Yes.
I do love it, and my followers on Twitter seem to enjoy it as well. But I made a promise, and I'm going to live up to it somewhat. I'm not going to.
Somewhat.
I think that's a. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. While they're top 10,
yeah,
you can't
fine.
Do it. But you know what? You should come up with maybe something when they're top 10 and don't score. You should come up with a gift. See what I mean?
Yeah. Like
flip,
a surprise.
Flip it around. Right.
Yeah. Huh? Now I have a project for today.
That's right. There we go. Giving him something to do. Adam, we had Ryan Johansson on about 30 minutes ago here on the show, and I think for the most part he's been pretty good so far. What have you thought of Ryan Johansson individually through the first seven games of this season?
I think he's looked really good, and I think you could say the same for Matthew Shane as well. We've talked enough about those two players and can they justify their inflated salaries and are they the boat anchors that are holding this team back from actually rebuilding or transitioning or whatever you want to call it. The one thing that can make us all shut up is if they play well. And so far, I think both of them have looked very engaged in the game. As we all saw last night, Ryan Johansson saved that game for the Predators with a heads-up play with the puck sitting there almost near the goal line with less than 5 minutes left. So, we saw Matthew Shane as well, score the type of goal that we knew he could score, but haven't seen him score a lot of with the Predators. A nice, clean, controlled zone entry, a nice shot on the rush, to score that power play goal to start scoring last night. So, kudos to both of them for getting off to good starts. We'll see if it continues, but certainly, they're both very noticeable. And that's important. There have been too many times in recent years where they've gone long stretches without you noticing them on the ice. And they both have been engaged and noticeable through the first seven games. So, so far, so good.
Okay, am I detecting, a little bit of warming on your part in terms of the overall picture of this team? I felt like, you've been pretty down on this team, understandably so. I mean, do you have a little bit brighter view of what they could be?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is still early. There are a lot of teams out there that are playing better than expected. There are a lot of teams out there that are playing worse than expected.
Yeah, the Avs are really bad, huh?
The Avs, the Golden Knights, the Maple Leafs, the Sabres are excellent. all of these things, but the Predators are honestly about where I expected them to be. But I think what we've seen from them over the past three games, even in the losing effort to Winnipeg, they were able to score some goals. But I think the two games against Minnesota and San Jose have typified the kind of identity that they want to play with. I mean, they did not do a lot of scoring in that opening homestand. They had 8 goals in 4 games, and some of those goals were garbage time goals, so you can count them or not. When I look at their fancy stats and and things of that nature, they're basically playing about as they're expected to be playing, according to the numbers. Like, the goals they're allowing, the goal, you know, the goals that they've been scoring, you know, the way that UC Saros has been playing, you know, I feel like a lot of those numbers match up to what their expected numbers are. So, really, I think the Predators are about right where they should be. And we'll learn after, I think, about 15, 20 games, I think, is when you get a good idea of what a team really is. So, you know, for example, we talked about Buffalo. Like, Buffalo is not as good as their record probably indicates right now. And they'll probably slip, and they'll probably end up being, you know, a bottom third team. You know, the Avalanche and the Golden Knights and the Maple Leafs, you know, you would think would figure it out and get back to the top of the standings. When I look at the Predators, honestly, I think they're about what I expected them to be through 7 years.
Adam Vidgen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what are your thoughts so far of Dante Fabbro individually, and what do you make of that Yossi Fabbro pairing that the Predators have gone with?
You mean like one of the most handsome bachelors in Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
Dante Fabbro, according to Nashville Lifestyles magazine.
It's a big deal.
Yes, it's a very handsome pair, because Roman Yossi, I think, was on that list at one point, or he was one of Nashville's most eligible bachelors. I don't know. But, you know, a lot of the handsomeness per 60 is very good on that pair. But in terms of how they've looked, I think they've looked good. You know, Roman in particular, who leads the NHL in points among defensemen, he's got 9 points in 7 games. He had 2 assists last night. You know, during the homestand, I likened Roman to 2007 NBA Finals LeBron James. And for those of us who aren't big basketball fans, that was LeBron James carrying a team that had no business being in the finals. Into the finals. They were swept by the San Antonio Spurs, but it was LeBron James and a cast of Fedruna Valgauskas and, you know, Eric Snow, Michigan State grad, and Anderson Varejao and Drew Gooden and Larry Hughes. Like, not a very good team.
Sideshow Bob hair, by the way.
Yes. There's your Simpsons. There's your other Simpsons reference for this segment. But, you know, we know Roman can do this. We saw it a couple of years ago. He won the Norris Trophy. And last year was a down year for a lot of people, Roman included. You know, I think you've seen Dante do, you know, work. You know, we talked about the things that he needed to work on in the offseason, his strength, his skating. You know, I think you've seen that improve. I think Roman is just sort of doing Roman things. And, you know, he's the type of play. You know, this team is light on, quote-unquote, elite talent. You know, Roman is certainly that, and he can carry this team a long way, as we've seen in previous years.
Beef and Beats Johnson on Twitter says, Adam Vingan taking credit for someone else's idea regarding the Simpsons GIF. What is that about? Your response.
What do you mean I'm taking credit for somebody else's idea?
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is Beef and Beats Johnson. I mean, it looks like it's a burner account with 3 followers, so I don't know.
It's slanderous is what it is. If you can point to me a Predators-related Simpsons GIF that was created before mine, then we'll talk, but you're not going to find it.
That's right.
So, let's see some receipts, Beef and Beats.
I could sue Beef and Beats for slander right now if I wanted to. That would be a very odd court filing.
It would be. Adam Vidgen from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30.
Hey, real quick, Bridget tweeted that Arlo peed on her twice today already. You guys all right over there? Everything good?
Yeah, I mean, he had a nice stream of spit up that went down my forearm this morning.
The joys of being a father.
Love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Arlo is, you know, he likes to do the peeing when the diaper's off.
That's right.
It's like the feeling of freedom, you know.
That's right.
And he does it a couple of times. So he does it once, and then you go to clean it up, and you turn around, and he's done it again. So,
hey,
you know,
it's all part of it.
He's marking his territory.
That's right. Adam, nice. We appreciate you joining us, brother.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Adam Vidgen from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Hockey, Simpsons, fatherhood, all things Adam Vidgen.
P.
That's right. When we come back, it is time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal score for Nashville SC tonight. We'll do that coming up next. Right now, NFL Week 8 It's upon us, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, Thursday night. A great opportunity to give it a try. And all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. My beloved Green Bay Packers in action against the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm not sure my Packers are going to have any wide receivers in the game. No Davante Adams. No Adam Lazard. Doesn't look like MVS is going to be able to play either. So give me, unfortunately, the Cardinals on the money line. Give me Aaron Jones over on the receiving total. And give me Kyler Murray over on the rushing total. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook, and you get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive 25-1 enhanced odds on any touchdown during the Sunday night matchup between Dallas and Minnesota. Win $125 on a $5 bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB, so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is not withdrawable site credit. That expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Nashville SC in action tonight against Cincinnati. You can hear the action on ESPN 94.9. And we need your participation. Hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, for your chance to guess the goal score tonight. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on the New York Red Bulls at Nissan Stadium coming up on November the 7th. Right now, Joe Rexrow, the standings are as such. The listeners with 8 correct answers. Michelle Knezovic with 4. Robbie Stanley with 3. Joe Rexrode with 2 correct answers.
Boo.
And you know what happened last time? You had the first pick. You know what you don't have this time?
The first pick.
You do have the last pick this time.
I don't remember that.
No, really?
That worked out?
Really? Okay. All right. Well, I have the first pick this time around. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with Hani Mukhtar. I will take Hani Mukhtar in this competition, and I'm hoping he finds the back of the net tonight. Michelle Knezovic, you are up next. Your selection in NFC Pick to Click is whom?
Randall Leal.
Randall.
Going back to my roots.
There was zero hesitation. You know, she's been kind of going back and forth the last few times. Zero hesitation for Michelle on that pick.
Gotta just go all in. Randall Leal.
Old reliable.
Joe Rexrode, your selection in the competition.
All right, well, I'll go CJ Sapong.
Do you feel like this is the day for you?
No. Well, let's be honest here. It probably isn't. But that's where I'll go.
Thank you.
Okay. There's my analysis.
Not really any other
you
way
got,
to go.
So you got the first, I know this for a fact, the first time we did this competition, you got it right. I think there was a little bit of time spaced out between 1 and 2, but not much.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you found the back of the net here.
I'm having a Robbie Stanley Preds Pick to Click like drought in this.
And quite frankly, it's refreshing.
I'm sure it is. But droughts in this one are easier to come by, I'd say.
I would say so.
You know, fewer games.
Fewer goals.
Fewer goals. Fewer games, fewer goals. Quite a bit fewer. Goals, you know, you don't have like 6-4. You can get a random hockey game, give you like a 6-4, 7-5. You can get a lot of 3-2s, 4-3s.
Also, a smaller pool.
It's a lot of
that too. Yeah,
a lot of nil nils out there.
A lot of 1-1, 0-0,
scoreless,
occasional
clean sheet,
2-1. Yeah,
you got to get the clip of somebody sent us a clip of Gary Smith just screaming clean sheets the other day. It was awesome.
I love it.
I do love me some Gary Smith.
I mean, I'm going. Let me go through the scores. So we got 2-2, 2-2s, 0-0, 2-0, 0-0, 1-0, 2-2, 2-0, 3-2.
Not a lot of opportunity.
1-1, 1-0, 2-2. There's a 5-1 Chicago. That was a fun one.
Was the game where everybody got one right, except Joe Rexrode.
Except Joe.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. That was in July. Then you go. But right after that, no goals. And there were another 5 over DC though. I mean, they've had a couple
outbursts,
but in the last 4 matches, a total between both teams, So 8 teams, 4 matches, a total of 3 goals.
So, it's not a lot.
Yeah. So just making excuses for myself. CJ Sapon, let's go, baby.
That's right. You can watch us today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Going to be a big buildup this week for the Titans and the Colts. We talked to Stephen Holder earlier in the program. We know how big this game is for Indianapolis. How much bigger of a challenge is this going to be specifically for the Titans defense with Carson Wentz and the mobility that he brings to the table? You know, I still think you look at this wide receiver core for Indianapolis, and it's not like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are coming in here. Now, Michael Pittman Jr., big game on Sunday against San Francisco in some pretty awful weather conditions. So, you know, I think we know he's a really good player, and he at the Titans even last year. But again, it's not a wide receiver core that just leaves you shaking in your boots. They play a different way. And Jonathan Taylor, I would hope, is a bigger part of that game plan for the Colts than he was the last time around when the Titans played against him. How much more of a stiffer challenge is this going to be for the Titans defense?
I think it's a challenge. And again, it's now it's not like anybody's signing up to play the Bills and the Chiefs offense.
No.
Despite what we saw Sunday, no one's saying, hey, I want to see more Patrick Mahomes. But you did have two teams that the run game is almost like an occasional annoyance to them. You know, it's like, a formality. Okay, we'll throw in a little draw play here and there. And when you play a team like that, you can feel pretty convicted in, you know, putting your hand in the dirt and coming at that quarterback. And now you have got to deal with a big, burly offensive line that's finally getting healthy and a legit run game and a quarterback, as you said, who now can actually move and can get outside the pocket. And Carson Wentz is good at that. So, yeah, I also would think, based on, I mean, I think Carson Wentz had like 70 yards passing, but like 95 yards on PIs to Pittman,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So throw up the back shoulder. You know, you get the DB turned around and makes contact with Pittman, and boom, you got a spot foul. I think that the Colts are dangerous, and that was a huge win because it might make this game, this would still be a huge game. It's a survival game for them, but they had lost that game. It'd still be so remote, their opportunity to really get back in this thing. That's a big deal. They've had an incredibly tough schedule, and I think they're going to give the Titans their best, and that's, I think, pretty good. I still think they're a playoff-quality team if they can stay healthy. Just like Stephen Holder said earlier, how do you assess the AFC? I think he's probably right. Who avoids the critical injury? Who keeps most of their primary players healthy? To that point, are the Titans going to get into a better place there? They are in some ways, and in some ways they aren't.
Some ways they are not, for sure. Going to be interesting. We'll continue to look ahead and break down this game all week long as we look ahead to a big-time divisional matchup between the Titans and the Colts. Join us for the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series at Nissan Stadium between the Nashville Predators and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Outdoors for the ultimate celebration of hockey coming up on February the 26th. Be a part of 70,000 rocking fans at Nissan Stadium. Smashville is excited to welcome the entire hockey community for a unique spectacle that celebrates the spirit of Nashville. And if we've learned anything about Nashville, they know how to throw a party in these situations. So I'm expecting a huge event that weekend here in Nashville. Going to be really exciting. And if you haven't already, go ahead and buy your tickets now at NHL.com/stadium series tickets. Once again, that's NHL.com/stadium series tickets. Game 2. Of the World Series tonight between the Braves and the Astros. We'll see if the Braves can build on it, go up 2-0 as they head back to Atlanta. That would be huge. I think most people would be happy with 1-1. You know you're at least going to have that. But if you can get 2-0, heading back home, in a pretty good spot if you're the Braves tonight. So we'll see what happens on that front.
I can't wait to see some more Chase McCabe random tweets about flowers and clouds and puppies.
Me either. Going to be awesome. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.